In this episode, I have a friend of mine, Allison Santos, and we will be discussing technology, social wellness, and overall how technology can be useful or not useful in our everyday life and how it may, you know, bring about connections and relationships into our everyday lives using technology. And so I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll see you on the other side.
I don't even know. But we were here at last. That was challenging. That was a lot for me.
And you were saying it was a sign. Why? What is the sign you took?
It was like a sign, well, we're going to make this hard for them to do this. And I'm just like, no, not today. Not today.
That's essentially the summary of technology, and it also summarizes life.
Yeah, I know. What parallels, right?
Because here's the thing. People think that technology is going to fix everything, and it's going to make things simple and all of that. But people forget that it also is very fallible, and it's not 100% perfect or guaranteed. And it's also always changing. So I think people, if you don't have patience to begin with, technology is going to be a really hard field for you to get into, because just like life, change is constant. Technology is constantly changing, and everything that can go wrong will go wrong at some point.
Yeah, that's why I was like ready to go on my phone, and then it's on a web browser because I don't think there's an app for it. So it's like asking me like questions I can't even like complete. Anyway, happy Tuesday. It's nice to see you again.
Happy Tuesday. It is always great to see you, Felicia.
Aww. I'm glad we're, like, connecting. I just feel like no time has passed.
Just reaching out to connect.
This is not connecting to you. Okay. So.
How long it's been? Is that awesome?
Yeah. So.
When you said no time has passed, I think we need to say how much time has actually passed.
Context, right? Context. Context. So I met Allison back in 2014, I think it's 2014, actually.
Yes.
Late 2014. It was like September or something like that. I don't know. And at the time, I was living in LA. Interning, I was finishing up my master's in gerontology, and I was focusing on senior services. And then I found myself at the LA LGBT Center at their senior services department, and I was interning there. And that's how I met Allison. And then, yeah, we were pretty cool back then. And then all of a sudden, I had to move back, and then we were like on the Instas and stuff like that, but life goes on and we lose touch, and then we find each other again. And then, yeah, it's been like almost 10 years, 8, 9 years, something like that. And then found out that Allison still works there. She's the technologist there. She moved herself in different parts of the organization. Is that right, Allison?
I only made two moves, if that's for being technical about it. I only really moved to two different departments. So senior services, where we met. And then after that, I went into IT, and that's where I've been for, I'd say, eight of the 10 years. Yeah.
And so today's topic will be about like social wellness and technology, and mixed with occupational stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about what Allison does, because she's in the tech world, and how, what her challenges are being in the tech world as far as work, and then paralleling that with like social life, social interactions, personal, like how tech, maybe how technology can benefit like social interactions, or I don't know, or where the line is between like having real connections in person versus online, I think. So
yeah, however you want to navigate that, whatever you want to fold in. As a note, however you want to mix this in, I'm trying to think where my public persona is. They like for pronouns.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because it's part of it is also like political stance and for where I'm at. And I think it's a thing for me where, like, I'm not necessarily, like, she still rings true in ways, but, and it's because it's a way of honoring, like, a past of myself, but also if it came down to using, like, she or he, like, I definitely don't fully identify as he, because there's nothing aside from, like, the social constructs and stuff that I've been able to tap into now, just because that's how I am perceived. But I think the point is also just, like, the climate that we're in with trans and non-binary people, and I think for me, I also like to use it as a point. And I say personally, because everyone has their own reasons and their own things for, you know, how they identify. But for me, I think it makes the point of there are more of us than you probably know or think. And so for me, I make it a point in anything that's, like, public or online, that it's they and then non-binary and all the things, depending on whatever that we're talking about.
Okay. Cool.
Yes.
It's no.
Yeah. And so then, however you want to fold that in, if you want to put the whole spiel or just.
Okay. So what spiel, like, Allison's pronouns are they, do you use them too? They and them?
Yeah. All of the they, okay. them, theirs.
They, them, theirs.
Yeah.
And let me see where we can start.
the drafting of the questions. And I think it's just in general, whatever you're talking about are things that are that you are going to ask are important things that I think everyone would benefit from reflecting on, especially in the times that we're living in, because the amount of tech that is part of our daily lives, and whether we are aware of it or some level of awareness, how many people actually like to take a moment and think about how much they use and integrate it into their day-to-day?
It's a lot, actually. Even for the average person who's not in tech, or maybe just me, like, I stay home a lot, and so I still use tech a lot, even though I don't realize it. Could be TV or my son's tablet, or trying to keep in touch with friends via text, or, like, my husband's in the other room and he's trying to text me and I'm not getting it, and I got to figure out why. Because, oh yeah, because I only have 5G. I don't have the 25, you know, 200 whatever gigabyte. So I got to delete texts and apps. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are just the little things. But
also, what do you define as technology?
Yeah. Because it's like a spectrum too.
Like, I'm curious to know also in general, because when people say tech, I always wonder, what aspect of it are you referring to? Because the line between if something is not technical or considered tech, then what's the opposite of it?
Soft skills?
It's all context, right? Because soft skills is talking about skill sets, right? Technical knowledge versus soft skills. Also, I have a whole spiel about soft skills because I believe they're more important than technical. But also, like, digital, if we were to replace, like, technology with digital, right? Because then we have some other point of reference of, like, analog and then digital. And so anything that's analog, are we also to say that also doesn't count as technology? Because cassette tapes, VHS tapes, CDs, all of that stuff was still technology. But would people think it is? Because they would consider that analog now.
Even, like, the clocks with just the batteries. Now we have digital clocks.
Yes. Digital clocks. You know? Yeah. That was technology back then. That was advanced, okay? You didn't have to read these arms. All you had to do was look.
Typewriters? Remember that?
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. I love a typewriter.
I still have my mom's, like, they're not here with me, but they're in another place, and she left those behind, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just keep them, but I don't put any new ribbons, because I'm sure ribbons are, like, obsolete now, I don't even know what to find, and then you got, like, lights, and candles, and stoves, and all types of things.
Also considered advancements, right? That would have been technically advanced back then, too. When we're talking about technology, what aspect of it are we talking about? I look at technology as these are tools, or these are avenues to accomplish certain things. And so how people choose to use it or not is just up to them. And I think that's also part of it too, of do you want to keep up, right, with the things, because it does change so quickly and so often. And so I get it, even though I work in it and I use it, there are days where I'm just like, you know what? I'll just not know what this next update is until I have to.
I don't know if I told you this, but I'm trying to learn full stack. I'm trying to get through the HTML, CSS. So like, at first I was like into all these like forums and Reddit, whatever, about all the apps. And I'm just like, there's just no way. Like so the point of it is just, you're going to use the new thing. You're going to learn the new thing if you're going to use it. And if it's like, because there's so many, you can't learn all the languages and software because it's not going to be relevant to your, let's say, job or your project unless it calls for that. So I was like, okay. So that was just, I don't know. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. And I think that's what's challenging to gauge off the bat. Especially when you're starting something, because look, developing, and you said full stack developing.
That's what my track is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Because essentially, you could specialize in back end or front end, right? But full stack is just saying you're doing all of the above. There's so many boot camps and there's so many programs now for this kind of thing, which is great, because there's a need for it. There's going to be growth in this area if so much time and energy is being put into it. But it's still school. It's still just like a learning playground type situation. It's for exploring, and it's for getting like some kind of foundational things to think that you will know all you need to know before you get into whatever you get into next after that. I feel like whenever they make programs make promises like that, I'm just like, oh, I don't know, because you don't know until you get there.
I know.
But I think that's where then you really just have to have faith in yourself as a person and in your own capabilities, because I think that those boot camps are helpful, of course, for foundation, right? But everything is just like a starting point. Like you won't know what you need to know until you get to where you're going.
Exactly.
Essentially. And even when you get there, it could very well change too.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
That's why I say like technical is just part of it. I feel like people who get further are the people who have whatever it is in them. You could call it drive, you call it ambition, you call it patience, you can have perseverance. Fill in the blank, right? But it's just whatever the thing is that keeps you motivated or keeps you wanting to pursue this thing is what leads to success in whatever it is you choose, whether it be technology or something else.
Yeah, I initially did it because I just didn't want to go back to what I was doing before. And I know there's like technical jobs, that's just a general vague term. So a lot of jobs have a lot of technical or like stuff within it. And I just wanted to like just get in my footing and just see where it goes. And then anywho, yeah, but it's fun. I enjoy it. Yeah, I don't know. I still don't know. I still can't do everything by myself, but that's okay. But like all the coding.
I think that also is the thing about doing stuff by yourself. No one can accomplish anything by themselves.
Yeah.
As much as people want to believe it, and as much as you think you may be a lone wolf and you're independent and blah, 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 right? If there are certain things that you're trying to achieve or get to, it's not a solo game, you know?
Exactly.
And even if you solopreneurship, right? Where are you going to get clients? You still have to work with people.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where the soft skills come in.
Time. Whenever there's people, you just need people skills, okay? Because people gone people. They're going to do everything and anything. Yeah. You know? You're going to run into everything. And that's just because of human nature. It doesn't matter what field you're in. It doesn't matter what you're doing. People gonna people.
Yeah, people are still people. Still got to deal with people on an everyday basis.
I mean, okay. That's a common denominator in all of it, right?
Yeah.
And that's why you find the same characters and the same personality types, no matter where you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a good and bad thing.
Bad is relative also, right? Good and bad to who?
It depends. It's all, what is it called? It all depends, right? So let me ask you a question. How has technology influenced the way you balance your work and personal life?
I don't think there is a balance anymore.
Yeah, explain.
I don't think there is a balance anymore because we're just at a point where, to me, it's so ingrained, right? It's so ingrained in everything that we do. And back to what we were talking about earlier, right? It also depends what you consider technology. Because if things like electricity and all of these other things are considered tech, then there's no way to get around it, right? There's no way to not have it be part of your life in some way, right? So to me, balance now at this point, I think I relate it more to screen time more than anything. Because how much time am I just spending in front of a screen instead of with people or with myself or something else? Because I think that is the hard part to distinguish now, because a lot of the things we do and a lot of the stuff that we, even social media or keeping in touch with people, if it's not in person, it's also on a screen. Like, we are connecting on a screen though right now too. But to me, that's not, I wouldn't count that the same as just like being in front of a screen, like working away, or just like getting into whatever and doom scrolling through and just mindlessness, right? This is a more conscious, purposeful use of technology. And so I think for me, because I also work in tech, a lot of my time is behind a screen of some sort, is in a bunch of also virtual meetings. Is balance going to look like when you work in the field? I think that's what's hard to define for me, at least. But my way of distinguishing is, what is my purpose while I'm here in front of the screen? Is it going to energize me, or is it draining me? And that's now what my marker is. And whether that's in my professional life and at work, or if it's just like personal, this, you know, and my time outside of it, it's just like, how much of it is behind some kind of screen, and is it draining me, or is it fulfilling some kind of purpose or want, you know, in my life?
Yeah. Can you explain to us what you do again at work, like role type stuff?
Yeah. It's funny enough, I always think, and I look back at like how all the other positions and stuff that I've done so far, and it's just because I can translate, right? So that's why I think most of the time I consider myself really a tech translator, because you're always going to have the people part, and then you're going to have the technical part. And where it clashes, because people misunderstand or can't grasp concepts of things, right? And because I'm an info systems program manager, that is my title. But what does that really mean? And just depending on where you are, it can mean all kinds of different things. But essentially, it's like project managing a bunch of different programs, but it's not just like specific softwares, it's like solutions, right? Different systems and solutions, and you're managing that in the different programs. And so I do that in all the different departments that we work with at the center. But it's not like I'm behind a computer and coding away, right? I work with developers who do that, right? I work with the developers who make the software for the things that we do, right? I also do some system admin work and set up these systems, right? But that's just, I'm good at settings. I understand settings. I also understand that if you do X, then it will lead to Y and Z. That's the thing where I think people get overwhelmed with, and understandably so, because it's its own language, right? Technology is its own language, and the more technical you get, and even literally there are languages, right? Like, you were talking about HTML, CSS, Java, like all of these are languages that are in the tech field. And it's just, like, do I speak it? Not fluently, but enough that I can know what it is talking about. And so I think really it's just, what is the phrase? The jack of all trades?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I consider myself. I just know enough about a lot of stuff that I can make it make sense.
Yeah. Because even as a software developers don't know everything as well, they still need the resources. They still need to look things up. So it's not like, okay, this is it. I know everything. It's not like that.
Resourcefulness, I think, is one of the key things. Resourcefulness.
Yeah.
It is the willingness to go out, find solutions, research, get answers. The interest also in intrigue in that, because I think that's what it is. Before this became like an actual position for me, this is just what I was doing already. It was just like, get on Google or go look up some articles or something, or just start somewhere and see where it leads you, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Developers still Google stuff.
Yes. Also, that's the thing I think about school and like, how much time do we spend memorizing things?
Oh my God.
And then you go into the quote unquote real world, right? Who memorizes all that?
But can we don't even use like more than half the stuff.
Yes. But can you find that answer if you had to? And that is, I think, the skill that is more important.
Yeah.
Yes. Resourcefulness is what got me here, and just being able to translate and to connect with people, and just you just meet people where they're at. And so that's why I feel like I live in this in between all the time, going back and forth. You know?
Because you're like the people, the technology, and then you help them understand each other, sort of.
Yes.
Thing.
Yes, yeah. And if we're talking about soft skills, right?
You.
Where do we learn that? Where do you teach soft skills? How come we don't?
I don't know.
How come we do not actually put ourselves through classes, through formal education of these things? But all of a sudden, once you start getting into a workplace, it's just you need to have these soft skills. And it's just like, where would I have more? Where and when would I have learned this, right?
Yeah.
Unless it came naturally to you. And I say, thankfully, I sought that out and I had an interest in that kind of stuff. You know, to me, that was as important, if not more important. And so we didn't get this formally. We didn't get taught this. I sought this out. People call it self-help. People called it, put it into whatever thing, right? Psychology, self-help, sociology. There's so many different branches of like people and just like the brain and just relationships. And it's just like, why aren't we also putting as much focus on that and incorporating that into, you know, what we do and just our day-to-day? And like, why isn't that valued the same way as someone who can go and develop and code? Because that's fine. You can go ahead and develop and code away. But if you can't talk to people, and you can't communicate with them, how are you going to keep clients? How are you going to build a business? How are you going to, you know, fill in the blanks with all these things?
Yeah. It's a lot, though. I don't know about other people, but when I first started working ever, I was like 17, and we get these customer service jobs. I wish I started here because I was so sheltered, you know. You know, I was like I'm still soft spoken, but I was much more like almost scared. I have a really like soft personality. And so dealing with people every day and figuring out how to talk to them, especially when they're not so nice, it builds your, I feel like it's like a personality stamina thing. Like where, or like a resilience, you just build like a tool belt of how to handle, just fill in the blank, right? How to handle this.
Right.
And so
it makes
you a problem solver naturally when people are asking the same questions or similar questions. Or when I was a hairstylist in a different lifetime, I had to talk to people, even though I didn't want to. Like I would, it comes from there, though, right? You do things that we're not comfortable with all the time, but then it's also, it'll build like a skill inside you. Like also when you were explaining tech to people and bridging them together, I had to tell people, okay, this is what you want. and this is reality, and this is what I can do for you. So I had to do that type of explaining. And when they would say, for example, you want 1 inch off? Okay, 1 inch looks like this, not like this. So it's like a lot of little things you learn, and it gives you more neural pathways in your mind.
You're going to say it.
What?
Communication.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Yeah, that is the key to all of this, right? And what do people talk about is like a successful marker in relationships. People always put communication.
That too. And also, I totally agree, but also how to express what you want to say. Because sometimes communication, yeah, you can communicate, but also what is it really? And also finding the words to say them appropriately, that they're going to be conveyed appropriately. And that takes practice too. And a lot of reflection and awareness. So yeah.
Yeah, I consider that part meeting people where they're at, right?
Yeah.
Or being like an effective communicator. Or that's the thing though, right? Like you had this early. You said 17 is when you started working.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we still have practice when we're in school and when we're like in grade school and stuff like that. But the range of people you're going to meet is very different once you get out of a school type environment. And so I think, yeah, it's a plus to put yourself in a position to have more interactions with a lot of different types of people. And I think that's also what's hard, right? Because unless most people do that because they have to, because they are at a job that requires you to interact with all these people, right? Because otherwise, if you didn't want it, no one would choose that. No one wants to hang out and spend all their time with people they don't get along with or maybe don't like or disagree with for whatever reasons. But we do it. And most of the time, it's because of work. But I think there's something also to be said if you choose to do it, even if it's not for work, like if you're not getting paid to do it.
Mm. Yeah.
Would you do it if you weren't getting paid to do it?
To deal with people?
Yeah, put yourself in situations where you're going to just meet a bunch of different people or work. Or...
Of course not. I mean, unless if you're like a business owner, then you got to do certain things that you don't want to do off the clock. And I get that. But yeah, but it's good practice. Like there's a lot of things we don't want to do, but we just try to be like mindful and like, I don't know what the word is, neutral or not noticeable about it. Yeah.
To each their own, right? And everyone will have their own feelings and decisions around that. But
depends, yeah.
Yeah, I think it also depends.
Situationally, it depends.
What's that?
I think situationally, it depends. I'm a business owner, I'm not off the clock, but I got to go to this network thing. I got to see if I can find an investor, for example, like those type of things, or like a developer that can help me with my startup. Yeah, and I get that. And sometimes we have to do things to like also get us ourselves out of like our own shell, get us out of our own way. And that maybe the person who's not so nice maybe just had a bad day or their dog died or something. I don't know. Yeah, I'll just put it that way.
Totally. I agree. And I think it's one of those things where I don't know. I go back and forth, personally.
With what?
About whether, I don't know, I look back on my own personal pattern. Like every few years, I just evaluate, am I still growing? And if I'm not, then what do I need to do? And usually the what I need to do is just either change my environment or put myself out there more or, you know, meet other people or just engage with more people, and that really helps refocus and put things into perspective again. And so I think after noticing that, that's just my immediate thing I go to now. Of putting myself into a situation I may not want to, but I know that it will be beneficial to me, whether I know what that benefit is yet.
Yeah. At least you're able to reflect and have the awareness of that, oh, I'm being too comfortable. This being I don't know if it's the being too comfortable feeling, but you're recognizing like, oh, I'm like stagnant or like comfortable. I need to do something. I need to meet people or connect with people or put myself out there so that you have those skills, those communication skills, soft skills, whatever you want to call it. And I think that's important even too, to have that own reflection, because there's not a lot of people.
Yeah, but do you think also, so I think about this a lot too. Yes, I think it's a choice to do the self-reflection work and to make time to do it. But at the same time that it is a choice, does everyone have that opportunity to make that choice? Because some people may just be so deep into whatever their thing is that, or there's a bunch of different other responsibilities and obligations that life throws at you. And so that's probably like the last thing on a lot of people's list. And, you know, what is your take on that? Because sometimes I think to myself, man, I really, because I don't have kids mm-hmm. or like people who are dependent on me. And that's become more clear with just like the phase of life that I'm at and like my other peers and stuff like that. And I'm just like, man, if I really had a whole other life depending on me, would I have the time that I have to, you know, be doing all the reflecting and thinking that I'm doing, or like just being able to just go do what I want whenever I want? And I'm just like,
what I'll say is it's still possible, but it might be really slow, or you might have to wait until a certain time has passed in order for you to do those things. And yeah, I'm not gonna lie, it's hard. It takes me, like, for example, if I'm editing something, and let's say we talk today, and today's the 13th of February. I may not edit this until March, let's just say, because I have 2 or 3 ahead of you episodes. So it takes about 2 to 4 hours to edit something and to upload it and do all the notes and all the beautiful stuff that comes with it. But, and as far as going back to the kid thing, having a kid, like, postpartum is no freaking joke, man. Like, I wasn't myself, I'm gonna tell you. And one of my closest friends visited me when my son was 3 months old. And during that time, I was like pumping milk. I was living off of 2 to 3 hours of sleep every day. And yeah, I wasn't, my partner, my spouse, he's really very supportive, understandable. And also I was going through other like personal family stuff during that time. And so that kind of exacerbated my erraticness. But I had so much like things I wanted to do, even though I just had a kid. And so the thing that I learned and the thing that I've accepted was, first I have to give myself grace for all the things that I can't do right now, but I will later. And it's okay living in the present, being at home, taking care of my baby. That's like my priority. And so even though in the back of my mind, oh, I want to go back to work, or I want to go see friends, or I just have to ground myself and just live in the present, even though it's hard. It could be hard. I'm not going to say, I could sit here and say it's easy, but it's not easy, not at all. And I do go back, and during that time, I did go back in my mind. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, things were a lot easier when, you know, it was just me and him and just no baby. But I have to like really prioritize my time and what's important. But it is hard. And there were times where I was like, when is this, the day in, day out kind of routine, like the house, the laundry, the babies. I was like, when is it going to end? Like, when is it going to be over? When am I going to have me time? So eventually, slowly but surely, that did happen. I was able to go to the gym or go to the float spa when I could, or get my nails done. It started with those things. But yeah, as far as like being social, yeah, people visited me who I didn't see for a long time because I had a baby, which is nice. But yeah, and then, yeah, it is hard if you don't have the help. Because in my mind, or at least before, I grew up with a lot of extended family in my household, like a multi-generational household. And so I thought when I had a family, I could have the help that my father got when I was growing up, but it didn't end up that way. And so there was a lot of feelings with that, and I had to deal with that, process that the best way I knew how. But then I think having my son really gave me like, well, some sort of either purpose or like a, some sort of like groundedness that I needed to just chill out, like in my mind, and just live here in the now. Yeah, it's hard, especially when you're like an independent person. Or I'm not like, for example, I'm just going to mock myself really quick. Like I'm independent, like I can work and have a baby still. I'm like, and have no help. I'm like, no, that's not going to work. So that's also like another reason why I had to go through these, like, I don't know what learning phases or whatever. Like I wanted to learn things I wanted to learn. I did them, and then it got me to this point. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to start a podcast because I do want to bring value into this world, talking about technology now and how to use it as a stay-at-home mom. And I want to bring value. I don't know who's going to listen, but maybe they'll get at least one little nugget that I say and I share it with the world. I don't know what to call it, but.
Fulfillment.
Yeah. Fulfillment. To be like, to share, because I couldn't work a full-time job. So it's like, what can I do that'll help me like create space to give, and then to also practice my speaking skills, because I'm so like isolated, staying at home all the time, so I can't really see people a lot. And so that's how it came about. It's evolving slowly, which I like, and I'm really happy. I'm like,
slowly according to who though?
Like what, evolving slowly?
Yeah, when you say evolving slowly, like on who, on whose timeline? On what, why do you think it's slow?
I don't know, because I'm so used to doing, and I'm so used to being, I'm so used to being the masculine energy. We go fix things, do things here and there.
Is this what we're gonna get into? Energies.
Or fast energy. I had to slow my roll down. And so to me, my mind goes so fast that I feel like I just needed, and I'm still working on it. And I just being able to like accept yourself. That's what I've been working on. And yeah, because I don't talk to one side of my family at all. So it's been rough. Yeah. And so it could be like society talking my mind, or it could be just like this negative talk that, go ahead.
No, I would say all of the above.
Yeah. Right. It could be how we grew up. It could be like the stuff that the messages I got growing up. It could be all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
And it may not.
Any and all of those things. Sometimes it could come all at once too. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what intrusive thoughts will get to you until they show up. And you're just like, where'd that come from?
It comes out of nowhere. It may not be slow. Slowly is just the word that popped up, because everything I do takes a lot longer now. But it's okay. It's my new pace of time.
Yeah.
But it's for me though.
Do you believe in the everyone on their own timeline, divine timing, whatever you want to put, whatever you want to call it, right? Do you believe in that stuff?
I do.
Yeah. Because I, you know, as much as I'm in like a field of like tech, and like everything is can feel very black and white, and you have to know an answer, there has to be a solution, or when an error or a bug or an issue comes up, right, you need to find a thing to fix it. As much as that's taken so much of my time now and my focus, and I believe in the work that I do, and I get it, but when you try to bring that back to like how life works, it's not how it works. It's just, yeah, tech is finicky. Tech can be unreliable. And it's just, I think that also gets us to a place of like expectations. Like it gets really easy to get into a place of unrealistic expectations, especially if you are not the one that is having to deal with whatever the issue is, right? And even Because everyone thinks that their problem is the most important problem. So everyone, their thing and their issue is like the most important, and it's like blocking their whole day. And I get that, because that is the most important thing in your world, but we all just don't live in our world. But the same way you're talking about the different things and issues and stuff that have come up with yourself, right? On a personal level, right? It can feel like that, right? Because we are functioning out of our own individual worlds and environments, whatever it is, that then when you take a step back, you're just, hold on. Is this really the thing, right? That is just going to be the end all be all. And then I think that's the thing, people forget you have other options, right? If this computer ain't working, what did you do before that? You have a phone. If your phone isn't working, if you don't want to, what else is after that? Pen and paper. You know what I'm saying? If you can't get on a video call, pick up the phone. Like, people just all of a sudden forget there are options. Like, yeah. That you could choose something different in this moment instead of focus on the thing that you have now decided is the most important thing right here, right now, because it's here. It's in front of your face. So.
Yeah, it's not like the flight or fight response, like how... It's exactly that.
I feel that so much. And if I didn't train myself, I'll say that this is also what working in tech is. Because I always say to myself, Lord, universe, give me the patience, right? And of course, when you ask for things, you're going to get lessons in the form that you didn't want. But then, you know, but that's the only way you learn, right? So I wanted patience. And so I get everyone, and I work in tech where everyone is like, impatient. People are very impatient. People are also very, entitled, right? Or there's like weird things of importance. And so it's just, okay, Lord, give me the strength right now. Because people are turning to me to fix their problem.
You're not even the developer.
But the thing is, back to the resourcefulness and knowing where to go or having different options, that I'm good at. And
I think that's really pretty much.
Yes, liaison, triaging, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Yes, creative, right? You gotta be creative, you gotta be resourceful. And I think that's the thing, people just get stuck on stuff, right? And it was like, if this really was like a fight or flight thing, so you're telling me you are choosing to just give up. That's essentially what I think when people are saying like, oh, I don't know, or I don't want a thing. You're telling me you just gave up. But you have someone else to use as a crutch, which is me or the IT help desk or whatever, you know, support, IT support, right? So people have gotten used to this thing. And I think it also goes back to customer service, right? Because you go to this thing and you're paying for this thing. You're expecting this kind of service. And it's just, so you want to act out and not be part of the solution and then get mad at someone who's trying to help you. but you don't want to take part in the solution, or...
They want a quick fix. They want you to handle it. They don't want to think about it because they got to do this other thing. And so they're like, the tech person.
Right.
Allison, so you deal with it. That's the attitude.
Yes, that is the attitude and people's attachments to what a solution is supposed to look like. Because I think people always come in already with what you want and think the thing is supposed to look like. Life don't work like that. And neither this tech or anything else, because here's usually what happens. If it is a one-to-one solution, because sometimes there are issues that are like that, right? Sometimes there's a direct link, right? But a lot of times there's a lot of gray area, and people don't know how to navigate gray area. And so you can come up with multiple avenues. Most of the time, I give you choice A, B, and C. But because I didn't give you your number one, you're now just not even looking that I gave you three options here, and you just refuse to accept or choose one of them because it's not the one that you had in your head. But I literally gave you three ways to solve the issue that you're currently experiencing.
Oh, that's so difficult.
Amen.
That's very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, this is challenging. But I think it is also what has given me like an edge in terms of dealing with people in general, right? Because now I can recognize these things sooner in people.
Ah, really? Yeah. How do you recognize it?
Because people have patterns.
Powers? Patterns. Okay.
Yeah, people have patterns. The same way when you're talking about working in customer service, you know that you're, oh, this is this kind of a personality, this personality, right?
You feel it. When they start talking, you just know, like the first 5 seconds, you know already. And it's also intuition.
Yeah. And it's also intuition, right?
And energy.
Which some people may not believe in. And if you don't want to, that's fine. But to me, you're closing out a whole other aspect of understanding. And people talk about woo and delulu. Give it all to me because that's a whole other.
That's beyond them though. You know what I mean? That is beyond them. But for you and for myself, we believe in those things because they do matter. Like it does matter. Like, for example, like my tone in which I speak, you know, how I look, like presentation. I mean, it could give a vibe.
Yeah.
It could be on how I approach you. Like, even if I'm just asking a simple question, like, oh, hey, you know, I know you're busy, but can you help me with this later instead of being so demanding? It says a lot, though.
Totally. And that's the part that it still blows my mind that we know these patterns and we know ways to be more effective and to just be more understanding with each other, but we let our emotions or whatever that thing in the moment overtake us. So that's where it's just like, not to say that emotions are not valid also, right? Feel what you're gonna feel. But at someone else's cost, then that's when we gotta take a step back, okay? Feel what you're gonna feel, that's fine. But if you wanna make that someone else's problem, that's my thing of, okay, hold up. This was not my issue, but you're trying to make it mine. That's the thing of, okay, take a second. I know you're frustrated. But I didn't have nothing to do with this. And if you're here to see me to get a solution, you are not making it easy for me to want to help you.
I don't know why it's lost. Like, just
because we as a society did this. And I'd say, I can't speak for other cultures, but American society, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is where we're at and this is what we live in. It's who gets the thing they want. The person who comes in complaining, wanting to talk to the manager, the one causing a ruckus is whoever gets their way. And I feel like that's where we messed ourselves up because we let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we allowed to just accept that socially and as a society. Instead of like, why did we let the person who's trying to like, just like bulldoze their way in actually get their way versus everyone here who was in line and waiting? Or like, why did we put value on this thing versus all the others here, right? But it's because we just let it happen. We let it happen socially. And so it's, what can we do now? I think social change and like large change is hard because it always takes more time. But this is where you Robin Hood that shit. And I don't know if people even still use that phrase or, you know what I'm saying? But it's just, this is where, to me, I will do what is in my immediate power and what I can do now to bring some sort of justice. That's my come from. And so it's like when I've had people who want to get crazy and throw their weight around or whatever, it's just like, yeah, because we're at work, I will deal with it. But you're not giving me any want to work on your thing sooner. But like to the person who, like you were saying earlier, hey, so not a rush, but here's what I'm going through. And if you could just help me whenever. Most of the time, that's who I'm going to put first, just because I know that there's already some kind of understanding here and that there's like a trust already put that you came to someone who is going to help you. And so it's just in those moments, I'm just like, yes, even though this thing that they have is not a big deal, I'll just start there. Let's just.
Yeah, it makes me feel good to want to do it.
Yes.
Because they ask nicely and they appreciate that you're already busy. And we're not demanding of it, you know, or not giving you attitude or crap about it. So that makes you want to do that thing first or whenever. Yeah.
Totally. And it's not to say that, of course, you still prioritize things, right, based on what the actual priority is, right? Of course, even if someone is bulldozing it, it is an actual, like, priority where it is a situation that needs to be handled sooner. Yes. It gets handled. But is my communication with you going to be the same? Probably not.
Yeah.
Am I going to want to do something above and beyond after that? Probably not. You know?
Yeah. That's unfortunate that it happens. And especially like on a general like way, just general women all around in tech are having a problem with the majority in tech.
Oh my God. Yes.
You know what I mean, right? You know what I mean, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Can I tell you, when I used to work at the Apple store, and everyone knows the Genius Bar, right?
I don't.
No. When you go to Apple, everyone knows about the Genius Bar, and that's where people beeline, and they try to always look for a genius because those are essentially the technicians in the store, right? Okay. They know that you have to go to the Genius Bar to get your issue taken care of, right? Okay. Back when I was working in retail at Apple, and I definitely presented more feminine and female than I do now, and on multiple occasions, I've had people ask for a different genius. They wanted to see a guy. And so it's just like this tomfoolery, right? Like just the premise. And it was just like, okay. It really just depended on the date. And this is the thing, like it happened to me multiple times that I could have different variations, which is also unfortunate because this has happened to me multiple times by different motherfuckers. And it was just always a little more heartbreaking when it was a woman who asked for a guy. Mm-hmm. Yes. But then one day, there was a day when someone asked for another woman, and I got another woman genius. I'm not sorry, not another woman. They asked for a guy genius. I was like, everyone here is working with someone, so you can either work with me now, or you can wait at the end of line again until someone else is free. And then they're like, trying to push their weight around and be like, no, I need a thing, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, let me see who's available. I purposely called another female person. And then when they came over, and they were trying to help them. They're like, no, I want to see a guy. And then we both were like, all the guys are busy right now. Like, and then they're like, let me talk to your manager. You know who we called?
That's female
manager. Yeah. Y'all chose a day and I was not having it today. So I just went all the way up. And you know what the thing was? The highest person at our store was female. And so
a lot of problems.
They asked for the highest person, and guess who else also came out?
A woman.
Another woman. I know.
They have something against women.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And it's because we're making strides towards it. I'll say that. I'll say that there's definitely change that is happening, and it's starting to move more in a more inclusive direction, but I don't think we're going to get nearly where we would hope for it to be anytime soon. Yeah. And it's just because it's rough, because some people may not even be conscious of what they're doing or what they're saying or the choices that they're making in terms of hiring or who they choose to collaborate with or fill in the blanks. I don't think, and that's where the thing about awareness, right? Self-awareness, I think, comes in. It's just, we've also got to check like our own biases and prejudices and things that we may not be conscious of, because it still happens, because we also are part of this larger society, and especially also back to tech, right? The amount of info and the amount of things we see and we just consume all has a message tied to it. And I think that's the part that people don't realize. And there's something, and I wish I had the stats with me, but it's something about nowadays we literally or download about a terabyte of data a day.
That's
we
a lot.
Yes, terabytes.
With a T, yes.
So we download and consume at least a terabyte of data a day. Mm-hmm. Back then, but compare that to when we were just like getting our information from a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
You only got the news for the day on these few pages that you flip through. And that was that. There was nothing else coming in at you, nothing else inundating you. But everything today is like grabbing for your attention. And whether you want to focus in or not, even if you have something playing in the background, the way ads are playing in the background, things that you're overhearing, like you're taking that in, whether you are conscious of taking that in or not. And the message attached to all of that, what is the message attached to all that? Also, who is feeding you that information? right? Because the source of it also matters. A lot of this stuff is also generated yeah. by people with whatever biases and message they're trying to get to you. Mm-hmm. And so this is also why, yes, I'm in tech and I have this like affinity for it. And I really do love technology. This was just a thing I learned from. But I also really love art for that reason, the similar reasons, because that is also another language. It's in everything we're doing and people just don't value that shit and they just mm-hmm. take that for granted, right? But it is also very powerful in the ways that we just take in imagery, sounds, like messages, and and people don't think about that. There's a method, there's a science to that.
Yeah. Everything is a subliminal almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's subliminal if you're not tuned in.
Yeah, but it's the message is there, but you don't even realize it's there.
So part of it, I think, I don't know. Personally, I try to dissect everything that comes my way. Yeah.
Going back to just messaging and cutting off cords, that was one thing I had to do because of, like personal reasons, like familial stuff. And that's part of it. Because I did not want my son to be around certain types of people.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it so happened to be family, more than one person. And I grieved, but it was just like a letting go. It's like a death.
Yes. Loss. It's just a loss. Uh-huh. Whether it be the loss of a life or not. Like you just, the losing of something, right? Losing those relationships, losing like an idea that you thought or something. Dreams, right? Letting go of things, like any kind of losses.
What they represented.
Yeah.
But didn't really act in that representation. For example, like a dad, right? Oh yeah, I know that I have to stop talking, let's say for a father, but it was hard for me because he's my father, but that he's so toxic, he's so negative, he's so this, he's so that. Is it really worth it for my mental health? Like, now that I know the messaging, now that my spouse and partner has seen what they've done, very covert over time, do I want that? So I had to make a choice. So it's like also, also recognizing the messages and the personality. And like you said, like now you see the pattern. I'm like, okay, now you know how to handle them in the workplace. You can't get rid of them, but. Like there's ways to navigate those types of things now that you recognize the patterns is what I was saying.
No, but I agree with you. That's hard. I think we socially, mm-hmm. societally, mm-hmm. communally have ideas of what ideal situations are, how things are supposed to be. And so when you're talking about family, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people get hung up on is like this idea of family is forever and you gotta love your family.
Blood.
Yeah. Did a family over everything kind of deal. And
is so like negative and toxic as well. Like family over everything. Like how, even over yourself? Wow.
That it's well-meaning and usually it's people who already have a good relationship that say those kind of things. Because if you had a good relationship with your family, you would say all that stuff. You would say you love them and you would prioritize them and you would value them. But if they're treating you like shit, why would you do that?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's what's hard. It's hard to have compassion and empathy for something that you don't, or you haven't experienced. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say it's impossible because you could do it. But I think that's where people have a hard time with that, right? Because it's...
Oh, definitely hard. It's not a hard decision at all. It's like years and years of thinking that, okay, let you, as in like general you, rhetoric you know that, okay, one day, you know that you're not going to have this connection because they're not going to change. No matter how much communication and honesty you have, healthy discussions, this person's just not going to understand what they've done and understand their own patterns because they're going to turn around and say, oh, you did this and you did that and no accountability. And it all spirals down. And so one person has to make a decision, really.
Right. How did you make that decision? I think that's the question that comes a lot. People answer, it's like, how do you know when it's time?
I was going to, oh man, it was so hard for me. I was like 4 months pregnant already. Because it was just like decades and decades of this, like, very covert, like verbal, mental, emotional stuff. And I thought nobody saw it or nobody heard it until I met my partner and I moved in with him, and the family member kept came around, and he noticed certain things that they would say, do every time. And at first I thought it was no big deal, and then it would happen again and again. And I was like, okay, so this has been going on for like forever. And it was something that I just, because also being pregnant and having a kid, like my hormones were just jacked up. And so my nervous system was very vulnerable. And I would have PTSD for 3 days after I have an encounter, you know, my own version of PTSD, but it was bad. And I just couldn't live like that anymore. It affected us at home, and I wanted to be okay for my kid and for our family that we have now. So it was not, oh my God, I cried for a year or two, but I don't cry about it anymore. I'm in a place where, okay, I'm much better now. I can focus on the things that I would like to do, focus on my friends, reconnect or connect or whatever. Like I can focus on that, focus on us. It's very hard. It's very hard, especially coming from Filipino like family. Like it's hard. I don't know. Maybe not.
You speak your truth. Go ahead, girl. You tell them.
It's hard. Because like I could always justify it in my own way. Oh yeah, my mom died, and so he took care of us. Did he really take care of us though? He was always with a girlfriend or looking for a girlfriend. Was he really there? Look, so like when I cut off cords, I can look back and when I was little, I didn't understand, but I saw the pattern, but I didn't understand. And then now that I have my own family, now that I'm a parent, I'm never going to treat my kid the way that he treated us. So it was tough. It was tough. I'm glad that we didn't connect back then because I was a wreck. But it just, yeah, growing up, they would always say that I'm the sensitive one. It's always me that has a problem. But that's what a narcissistic would say.
I feel you. I have gotten similar things said.
Yeah,
sensitive.
Yeah, but it's part of who I am, and my sensitivity is not a weakness. And I've learned to accept it and to use it to be more aware and protect myself.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that part. And I think that's the thing. Like when people are like, how do you know when it's time? It depends. It all depends. It's all case by case, right?
Yeah.
There's one way, like what you just shared is like when you knew for yourself kind of thing. Yeah.
Each person's going to know when they're ready. And I get why people aren't ready or don't like cut cords, or maybe they can control how much they see a person instead of cutting them off completely. And I get that. I understand that. And I completely get it. And you have to do it the way that you have to do it. And no one can tell you, or no one can question, you know, your actions for keeping yourself safe and healthy.
Yeah. But even then, you say that you wouldn't come to this conclusion unless you had gone through what you had gone through?
Yeah. Gone through like...
You had to go through what you went through to be able to talk about it the way you do now and know it to that extent, right? Because if someone were to tell you, if you were the one who asked, how do I know when it's time to go? And someone laid out for you all the things, would you have believed it the same way?
Like, no, probably not.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's so hard. It's even hard to even think about, like, their family. How can I cut them off? They're like my parent, my mom, or my dad. Like, can't do it, but they stress me out. Like, it's so hard. I don't recommend it unless it's something that's like totally necessary. And you have to decide, is it going to be better? And honestly, maybe it's like a known answer. You don't know what, I knew what it was like not having them or not talking to them. And then when I would talk to them, it's like a whole, my husband said I was like a different person. So I had to really think about it. And it happened on its own. Like, I didn't plan on the day and time that it was going to happen. It was just an instance that I just couldn't take anymore. And I just had a threshold. I was like, that's it. I'm done. I can't, you know, I can't do this anymore because I'm going to be upset for a week. And then they're going to pretend like nothing happened. And then it's going to happen again. And then I'm going to go through this again. So the psychological pattern, I got so exhausted. I was like, and even for some people, you can't reason, but I was sad. Oh. My mom's side of the family, they try to ask questions, but I wasn't going to try to like go through it because no one sees the day-to-day like interaction. And it's not like, it's not so grandiose. It's very covert. Like I said, it's very,
yeah, does it really matter the degree it was happening, period? Mm-hmm. However you want to say how big or small it is. Also, big and small is relative, right? Because small could be very big for someone else. So
yeah,
whatever that was happening on whatever scale, like, you just knew that. I'm just at a point where I'm just like, I just have so much going on up here. I just want to talk it through.
I know. That's why I just started the podcast, because I don't know what it's going to look like the first year. So I'm just going to do my solo and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And then I took a break and I want it to like something different, more, because it gets a little boring when it's just me.
Yeah. So,
and we can dive into other deep topics too, if you want.
Yeah. You let me know. Look, I could put it into whatever. I could reframe anything.
Nice. Yeah.
Because everything we do and talk about, like, you could just choose. It's all related. It's all related.
Yeah.
You know, we just make imaginary things about how it's divided. It's all related. It all comes back.
I know, right? Exactly.
It all comes back to the same shit.
Technology to cutting family off to.
Yeah. Yep. You can put into whatever thing, because there's also, if you talk about technology, there's this point where you just have to, you'd make a decision, right? Because you're never going to get software or solutions complete either. But also, if you don't make a decision and choose a solution right now, nothing is also going to change.
You're not going to know if it works. You're not going to move ahead.
Exactly. And you have nothing to work with. So that's why I'm saying everything is related. People think all this stuff about technology. And I was like, nah, bitch, what I'm learning is just life lessons. You think it's technology that we're talking about, but I could translate this to any other situation here. Like the way that you just talk about knowing when, I just related that to when to launch software. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't. There's not ever a good time. You just need to choose a time. Or when you get to a point of fed up, because it's just, y'all just got to complain about the same issue unless we try something different or try something now.
Also, like, technology, who operates technology?
People.
Exactly. And people need to communicate with people to get their operating systems in order and solutions intact. It's all circle. It's all full circle.
It is. And that is always going to be the thing about whatever happens in life. It's because it's always going to be filtered through people and the human experience, whatever it is. And the thing is, how you are in one thing is how you are in everything. And
oh,
I don't
God.
Think people
deep.
Yes.
How you people... are in one thing?
Yes. How you do one thing is how you do everything. Or how you are in this situation is also how you will be in any other situation. So I think that's the thing that people think, that you're so different when it's this thing or this thing. No, these are imaginary boxes that y'all just put for yourself. Look at how you deal with a difficult solution. Look at how you deal with getting a no. Look at how you deal with getting a yes. Look, whatever the thing is, you could translate that to however, and how you're acting in that is how you are. So if you a bitch out in these streets or in the stores, you're probably a bitch to other people in your life.
I know, right? You got to be nice to the person who serves you coffee or who rings your groceries, because you don't know if they're going to have another job that's going to, I don't know, such a small world. What if they get a better job and then they're your boss and then they remember you,
how you treat it? So it's all treating, yeah, especially when you're talking about bosses. So that just reminded me of the thing too, of like how you treat people that you work with and a coworker, how you give other people special treatment because of a position or a status or something you think. That's also very telling of who you are as a person. Because I talk to this, like the CEO levels, the same way I talk to all the frontline people too. Like what you do in this establishment, you're here for a reason. You're here for a reason. And whatever the job is that you're doing, I trust that you are doing it well, and that's why you're here. And that's the thing that's messed up, because people will suck up to like people who are higher up and going to get you a promotion or whatever, but y'all can't say hi to the people you're passing by, like the security or like maintenance and janitors and like stuff like, yeah. And they just,
it's telling. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very telling. So that's why I say who you are with one person is also who you are and in another, like with everyone else. And if it's changing, I say check yourself, because then you, because if my experience of someone is different from another person or another setting, then I feel like, damn, which version did I get? And so that's why to me, when people like, I may not have met, but they've maybe heard of me or mutual friends or something, and if everyone is saying the same thing about me, then I'm just like, did my job. That is my goal. Like that is the same experience throughout.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode about technology and social wellness and how technology can help improve our workplace and also our personal relationships and friendships. I will have Allison's information in the show notes as well as my information. And I just want to thank you for joining me today and listening to this week's episode. And I will see you next time.